Next case on the docket is case number 9159, temporary spacing to develop an oil and or gas pool discovered by the Stone Energy Corp. Number 25-2 Plumer Lundquist well located in the northwest quarter of the northeast quarter, section 25-161 north, 99 west, Divide County, North Dakota. Define the field limits and enact such special field rules as may be necessary. Persons interested in case number 9159, please come forward. And we'll go back to case number 9159, the final case on the docket today.
What? Did you find out?
Yep. You can space all you want there, Bruce. I don't think they're going to.
They could use a little encouragement.
Hi, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Just give me a moment here.
Okay.
Mr. Examiner, my name is Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm appearing in case 9159 on behalf of Stone Energy Corporation. We intend to call three witnesses in this matter. The first is in the area of land, Mr. Doug Cullen.
Mr. Cullen.
Yes.
You promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Doug, would you state your name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Douglas P. Cullen, C-U-L-L-E-N.
And Doug, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
Stone Energy Corporation as a landman.
And you've appeared before this commission on previous occasions, have you not?
Yes, I have. It's been a little while.
Okay. In that, I believe prior you were representing Westport, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And in preparation for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant land matters concerning this temporary spacing matter?
Yes, I have.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes, I have.
Mr. Examiner, we'd offer further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Doug, let's turn to the packet of exhibits. Let's go to exhibit number one. I'd like to identify the exhibit and then briefly describe what's contained upon it, keeping in mind the lateness of the day.
Sure. Yeah, I got you on that. It's just a locator map. This matter is up in Divide County near top of North Dakota in Township 161 North, Range 99 West, Section 24 and 25.
Okay, and let's go to the next exhibit then, exhibit 2.
It's a more detailed land map, just showing the current spacing unit for the Plumer Lundquist 25-2 well, which is the southeast section 24 and the northeast of section 25. And the map shows in crosshatch acreage that Stone Energy has an interest in, and also shows a previously drilled well that is plugged and abandoned.
Okay, and the next exhibit, exhibit 3, can you tell us what that is?
That is more of a detailed ownership map, very simple ownership. The working interest is split evenly between Stone and Nance Petroleum. Tract 1 is the southeast section 24. Mineral owners are listed thereon. Undivided ownership throughout that 160 acres. And then in Tract 2, which is the northeast of 25, also owned 50-50 by Stone and Nance. And the mineral owners are undivided and are listed on the exhibit.
So you have common leasehold ownership between the two tracts, but diverse mineral ownership, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and this particular exhibit also indicates the location of your Plummer Lindquist 25-2 well, is that right?
That's right. It's 120 feet from the north line of section 25. The other well, the Plummer Lindquist 25-1, is denoted as a producer, but it really should have dog ears on it as a plugged well.
Okay. That's all the questions I have for the land witness.
Any staff questions? Can you call your next witness?
Okay, Jeff, are you there?
It's Jim.
I'm sorry. I had it written down as Jim. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, okay.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is James C. Dreyf, spelled D-R-U-Y-F-F.
Mr. Dreyf, do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Jim, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
I'm employed by Stone Energy as a geologist.
And have you testified before the commission previously?
No, I have not.
Would you then briefly highlight for us your educational background and work experience?
Yes. I received a bachelor's degree in geology from the University of Kansas in 1975. First worked at Williston Basin in 1978. For American Stratigraphic in their basin study group. Went on to work for Anadarko in the 1980s and other areas. Returned to the Williston Basin in 1990 as a consulting geologist and later as an employee for Intoil Inc. And in 1995, I started as a geologist for Stone Energy.
Okay. And in preparation for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of the relevant geologic matters concerning this temporary spacing matter?
Yes, I have.
And have you prepared exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
Yes, I have.
We'd offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Jim, let's turn to Exhibit 4 in the packet. Tell us what that is.
Exhibit 4 is the open hole logs from the Plummer Lundquist 25-2. On the left is dual lateral log, on the right, a compensated neutron formation density. Formation tops are annotated to the right of the neutron density. And in the depth track, the perforations are annotated. In this well, we perforated from 11,309.15, a 6-foot interval. In the perforated interval, porosities average 7%. And I calculate a water saturation of 27% in the interval.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibit, Exhibit 5.
Exhibit 5 is a structure map that I contoured on the top of the Gunther Formation. The map's based on subsea control. We didn't have any available seismic for interpretation. As you can see, there are only two additional wells beyond the Plummer Lundquist 225 that are within a 1 mile radius of the proposed spacing unit. My interpretation of this Gunton oil accumulation is that it's a structural closure. There's apex of the structure will be at or near the Plummer Lundquist 225. And this closure accounts for the production in this well.
I don't have any questions for this witness.
Staff questions? Can you call your next witness?
Okay. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, would you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Mark Degenhardt. Degenhardt is spelled D as in dog, E-G-E-N-H-A-R-T.
Mr. Degenhardt, you promise to tell the truth in this case?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Mark, by whom are you employed in what capacity?
I'm employed by Stone Energy, serving as a reservoir engineer in the Williston Basin.
Have you testified before this commission previously?
I have not.
Then what I'd like you to do, as Jim did, is just briefly highlight for us your educational background and work experience.
I graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Flume Engineering from the Colorado School of Mines. My work experience includes various supervisory, technical and managerial roles, work in the last I've been with Stone the last year. Prior to that, the last 18 years was with an international E&P company in various parts of the United States, a couple different times working in the LA Basin, California, the Permian Basin, West Texas, Southeast New Mexico, the Gulf Coast, and the Appalachian Basin in Ohio.
And in preparation for this temporary spacing matter, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant engineering matters?
Yes.
And have you prepared exhibits you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
Offer the further testimony of this witness out of an expert.
Motion granted.
Jim, let's turn to Exhibit 6. Briefly highlight what's contained upon Exhibit 6.
Exhibit 6 is a listing of the gun relevant fluid and reservoir parameters. First, you see listed the estimated initial reservoir pressure in the Gunton at a little over 5,800 PSI. The API gravity of the oil based on a crude oil analysis that was sent in is 41.5 degrees. That's a specific gravity of about 0.82. The GOR of 750 is a field estimate. The initial water saturation from Archie's calculation is around 27%. Reservoir temperature of 211 degrees Fahrenheit. Viscosity 3.7 centipoy. Average porosity over the net pay is around 7%. The thickness of 6 feet, we perforated about 6 feet of perfs within the Gunton. Estimated permeability of around 39 millidarcies. We use resistivity for the water, 0.015 ohms. The formation volume factor, V sub O, is estimated to be around 1.5. The pore point from the crude oil analysis is 57 degrees Fahrenheit. The estimated bubble point pressure from Standing's correlation is around 2,500 PSI, and we believe this is a solution gas drive mechanism.
Okay, let's go to the next exhibit, Exhibit 7.
The next exhibit, Exhibit 7, is rate versus time for the Gunton formation. The work was done the latter part of June, early part of July. The very first data point is on July 7th. An initial rate of 180 barrels a day, and the ending rate that you see there is 141 barrels a day as of the end of last week. The average rate over the 3 months this well has been on, July it averaged about 120 barrels a day, August it was averaging about 136 barrels a day, and up through last week in September we were averaging about 120 barrels a day. And by the end of September we estimate we'll have cumed about 10,800 barrels of oil in 3 months' production.
Okay, let's go on to the next exhibit and just briefly discuss what's contained upon that exhibit and how it's relevant to today's hearing.
Okay, the next exhibit is Exhibit 8, and that's a wellbore schematic of the Plummer-Lundquist 25-2 well. You'll see where surface casing is set. The long string 5.5 is set down at 11,512 feet. You'll see the existing Red River perfs, which are covered up by a retrievable bridge plug, set at 11,367 feet. The zone of interest, the Gunton zone, we perforated from 11,309 to 11,315, six shots per foot, and above a packer at the bottom of 2 7/8 tubing, you'll see the stone wall where those perfs were shot from 11,228 to 11,237.
And those perfs are currently behind pipe, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't say behind pipe. They're not producing. You're not producing from those perfs, is that right?
Right. We have no casing pressure, and so they're, you know, the perfs were shot, but they were not acid stimulated.
Okay. And before you would do anything with those particular perfs in the stone wall, you'd come back for another hearing and request that you be allowed to produce from those perfs. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, let's go to Exhibit 9.
Exhibit 9 is kind of a summary of the more pertinent economic parameters. My assumptions going into this was $50 oil price held flat through the life of the well, OPEX of $3,500 per month. Royalties to the 100% working interest is a little over 20%. The EUR, estimated ultimate recovery for the oil, estimated around 132 MBO. That's a risk number. the reasonable max I have estimated around 336 MBO, and a reasonable low is around 35 MBO. The gas, assuming a 750 GOR held constant through the life, is 99 million cubic feet. The recovery factor, which is the EUR as a percentage of the original oil in place, with the original oil in place calculated to be 846 MBO, show a recovery factor just shy of 16%, the 15.6%. Net sales, that's the revenue attributed to the well. Severance taxes over the life, $608,000. Operating cost of $1.1 million. Net income over life, $3.5 million. The investment to do the recompletion is $209,000. That was an AFE cost that we sent our partner, NAMP. That results in an undiscounted cash flow, and discounted at 0%, of $3.3 million. That returns a return on investment ratio of almost 17, 16.9.
And the spacing that you're requesting for your well is the southeast of 24 and the northeast of 25, is that correct?
That is correct.
And that was the same spacing unit as for the Red River production, is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes. Okay.
And is it your opinion that such a spacing pattern will prevent waste, protect correlative rights, and prevent the drilling of unnecessary wells?
Yes.
So all the questions I have for this witness, we would offer exhibits 1 through 9 in case 9159.
The exhibits are received. Staff questions?
Mark, this is Bruce Hick. Looking at your exhibit on your downhole schematic, you show those perforations in the stone wall is open, of course, and it's not our practice to allow perforations to remain above a packer. What are your plans for those?
Well, probably whatever y'all would require us to do. I mean, in the meantime, there's no pressure on the backside, and so they are shot, but since no acid went across them, they're not giving up anything, and there's no pressure.
After you perforated, did you swab on the well, or did you production tessels?
The packer, after the two zones were reach shot respectively, the packer was run on the bottom of the 2 7/8 and set between the two zones, and then the gun to isolate it. You know, it was acidized with 600 gallons of the 15% HCl, and subsequent to that, after a few swabs, that's when the Gutton came in. But right after the shooting, there was no increased pressure, is my understanding.
You currently have a gauge on the backside?
We do, and after speaking to our field guy, I was told there is no pressure on the backside.
Thank you.
Mark, this is Lynn Helms. Do you have a fluid level on the backside?
I don't have it available to me. There may be one, but I don't know what that is. We have apparently fluid level is at surface.
And what do you have in the backside for fluid?
Produced water.
And do you have an estimate of timing on when you will do something with the stone wall, as far as testing that would lead to temporary spacing?
Well, I think we're going to wait for y'all's direction, and after speaking with Lawrence on which way the commission would like us to go.
Say, Mark, I don't think we have a completion report on that Gutton yet. Is there a possibility of getting one in?
Yes.
No further questions. That will conclude the hearing on case number 9159, and that concludes the hearings for today.